It's a wild, wild evening here with Lillian Bussell.
And the one and only Jen Ponton.
Hey, what's up, fuck buddy?
Hey, we're ready to fuck it up.
We are ready to fuck it up. I love you. I miss you.
I miss you.
I have so much reality TV trash that I've been watching. Fuck buddies, you know that's not my style. That's not usually what I fucks with when it comes to TV. And I have indeed been fucking with it. And I got to say, it's delightful.
You know, you have to pick and choose wisely, because even within, series, some seasons are just not worth it. But yeah, if you find something that you like, then it tickles that part of your brain that's like, oh, I just wanted some macaroni and cheese for my head.
Yes, absolutely.
Macaroni and cheese with maybe some Schadenfreude.
So much Schadenfreude. Mm. Dollops and dollops of Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude is the best sauce.
Oh my God. Do you remember just as you were leaving for your vacation, you sent me a parade video of Jersey City in like 1981?
Oh. I forgot I was in 1981. Oh my God.
So you said you were going to dollop.
Okay, I forgot about that entirely. So we really must revisit that. Jersey City is such a special place, you guys. It's a special place full of special people. Currently, right now, this week, they're going to be talking at the city council meeting about spending $400,000 on a thing I have never seen before. It's like an anti-terrorist SWAT team cherry picker. It looks like you could either like lift somebody up four stories to hop into a window, or like you could change a Fresnel light.
All purposes.
On a stage. Yeah. Yeah. Like, what are we? Kent State? Come on, you fucking fucks. What are we doing here? We don't need that. $400,000. Our public schools, the children literally don't have clean drinking water.
Yeah, come on, you fucking fucks.
Anyway, Jersey City, what's up?
We love you.
It's like New York City, except it's somehow incredibly backwards, even though it's only 2 seconds away from an actual city that has its shit together mostly.
But that's not even true.
The new mayor of New York is terrible. Also, you're probably not paying attention to any of that. And lucky, lucky you.
Me? Lucky mm-hmm. me? No, I have no idea what's going on in New York right now.
Mm-hmm. It's not great.
I was trying to tell my friend in LA what it was like trying to go to events in New York.
Oh, like historically or recently?
No, like the how you and I were talking before, and I was like, here you just want to go somewhere and you just get in your car and you go. Mm-hmm. And you park in the parking lot that's literally next to the building and doesn't cost you any money.
Uh-huh. Did she not understand why that was so special?
Right. Well, I mean, she kind of did, because in LA, it's still a pain in the ass. Like, mm-hmm. you still have to go get your car validated or go like pay a fuck ton for parking, or their street parking is really dodgy. So it's still a pain in the ass, but it's not quite to the level. I'm like, dude, I could wear whatever I want, because I know I'm not going to have to go up and down slushy stairs uh-huh. five times to get somewhere that's actually not that fucking far. Uh-huh. She was just like, it sounds terrible there. And I was like, it's not, but I think that's just because we get used to it. And she's like, it sounds really uncomfortable. I was like, oh yeah.
Oh yes.
New York is astoundingly uncomfortable. Mm, mm-hmm. You just get really used to it. I said, if you want it to be comfortable, you need to be able to afford it to right. be comfortable. Mm-hmm. So if you have enough money to throw at it, you can make yourself comfortable.
I actually addressed some of that in the journal entries that I have to read for you today, because they are from October of 2000, when I had just moved to New York. And when we pick up into it, I will have been in New York for about a month and have been job hunting during the hottest September of my entire life. And that includes being in Florida.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it's all about just like everything's so uncomfortable. Everything's so uncomfortable all the time.
Oh, girl, I am so amped. I'm so amped.
But yeah, like if you haven't lived here, so I am looking to go to Brooklyn tomorrow night. And I have already like mapped out 3 different ways to do it in case the first one that I choose is fucked up. So that's something that you always have to do. Like when I moved to New York, but because it was before we had, you know, like interactive maps in our pockets, I was only going in Manhattan. So I took the giant subway map, which was the size of a bed sheet, and I just ripped out the part that I needed, which was just Manhattan.
Yes. I know this.
The one time I went to visit that weird dude who I met in my bartending class in Queens, I had to get a whole new map. But it's fine because I never saw him again because he had his own vampire teeth. And I was not into it.
Yeah.
I did like Queens, though. Queens is a great place. There's incredible food there.
Real good food in Queens. Queens is also a lot easier to drive in.
Oh, that's a good point.
Oh, yep. So much more comfortable to drive in. Absolutely.
As a side note, I did something that sounds like it's about to be a scam, but this actually worked. And Don, right around Super Bowl day, he was like, okay, so you know that Caesar's sports book that we've been seeing all over the place? We're not sponsored by them, by the way. But they've been having these weird offers where, like, if you place a $50 bet on, like, anything, or if you bet $50, I don't think you even have to spend it all in one place, you get a $250 Uber card, like, gift card. And you can use it for Uber Eats, or you can use it for Uber.
Oh.
So, he did it, and he lost his bet on the – there's, you know, some parameters, but I figured it out by myself, even though I've never bet on sports in my whole life. I was like, oh – it's March Madness or whatever. People really like Georgia. I will put money on Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made my money back and I got a $250 Uber card. So now I am not worried about how to get home at night for at least a couple of trips back and forth into Manhattan.
Hell the fuck yes. Hell the fuck yes.
$250 in Uber money is gold.
Absolutely.
It's also,
absolutely,
you know, saying out loud, it's literally just money, but also it's not money I can just spend. It's not like what am I going to do for this night where I go out to a drag show? Am I going to spend $95 to do that?
Yeah. Right.
Who do I think I am?
Inappropriate.
I mean, inappropriate in my tax bracket, but yes.
Yeah. I mean, no, I concur. It just feels shitty.
It does feel shitty. Anytime I have had to blow, let's face it, $50 on a cab home from Brooklyn, even if I have earned money while I was out there, I always feel like an asshole.
If my father could see the kinds of things that I've had to do, my father has such a distinct rule for like the profit exceeding the expense. And to the point where he was like, if your round trip travel is longer than you're actually at the location, it is not worth going to at all. Which is insane because you know what that shit is? That is some sunk cost fallacy right there, my friend.
Absolutely is.
Because if you go all the way down to Cape May and it's terrible and you want to leave and you hate yourself so much that you just sit into it for 6 hours and loathe everything, all you are is 6 hours closer to death.
Right. Yes.
And probably poorer and definitely less happy.
Oh my God. I mean, I'm not happy to go 2 hours and find out that I'm not happy where I am, but nothing makes me happier than leaving somewhere that I've decided I don't want to be anymore.
Yeah.
It is the ultimate joy of being a grown up that you can just be like, don't want to be here anymore. I don't have to put up with that shit or that shit, and I'm gonna go home.
Absolutely. 1,000%
So you said that you have live journals for me today. Is that right?
I do. I have live journals for you, I think.
Circa, how old are you?
So this is actually, this will be my match point to where you are in yours. I have
God.
It's like the first year that I'm on my own from college and I'm in my day job and I'm also transitioning out of it and becoming an actor.
Okay.
So that's what I have for you.
That's lovely. I forgot. I didn't forget. But I don't look back at this stuff on purpose a whole lot, which is why doing this with you makes me so thrilled. But I go back and I'm like, I see things that I didn't write about in the journal, but I remember that they were either terrible auditions or bad job interviews. Because, you know, when you're in a new place now, I mean, later on, I've had a million terrible job interviews and auditions that I don't remember. But at the beginning, everything, like, it zaps your little brain cells in a way that makes it become like a core memory, whether you want it to or not.
Yes. It sure fucking does.
Do you know the whole thing about how after you've experienced something traumatic, you're supposed to play Tetris? Do you know about this?
No.
This is beautiful. I haven't read the entire how it works, but apparently anything like big T trauma, like a car accident or a robbery or something like that, if you can get yourself to some Tetris and play it for a little while, you unlinking your brain from having gone through that horrible thing and playing this normal little friendly box game can help run interference and make it not so that you don't have PTSD off of that particular event.
Shut the fuck up. I wonder if that applies to other things.
I'm sure. Let's just play Tetris all day.
Yes.
Tetris, PTSD. Tetris and word games lead to fewer intrusive memories. That's what it is. It's not going to completely delete your PTSD. There's a number of peer-reviewed articles. This thing that I'm looking for at is on the U.S. National Library of Medicine, National Institute of Health. I do love a journal. Makes my heart go pitter-pat. Just whisper peer review into my ear. That's for all of our ASMR friends out there. A trauma film paradigm was used to examine effects of a supposedly visuospatial Tetris and a more verbal task, word games, versus no task on intrusion frequency in a reconsolidation time frame. So if you are able to get in on this, then those intrusive thoughts after an event can be possibly entirely eliminated. It's cognitive behavioral therapy thing.
Yeah.
PTSD is one of the few psychiatric disorders with a clear onset event, which is the trauma. And thus prevention strategies would be relatively applicable. But to date, effective preventative interventions are lacking. Anyway. Keep Tetris on your phone in case you need it.
Keep on keeping on. Yes, what I have for you today are my journals that I started that they were public. My online journals that were public while I was doing what you were doing at the time, which is to say settling down in my first place, getting ready to be like a real grown up, which was very, very exciting for me.
Hooray.
So by this point, this is early in the calendar year 2007. I've been on my own feet for the final quarter of 2016. And I'm like figuring out how to integrate acting back in my life. And I was on a lot of casting websites pulling their audition notices and seeing what I would be appropriate for. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you.
Yeah. You can leave that in. People need to understand the plight of the multi-sneeze people.
Oh my God. Oh, it happens all so quickly. Bear does that. He just usually does it in my mouth. because he gets a little smile on his face. Like he sneezes when he's really happy. Oh. And I'm like, and I get close to him. And I'm like, are you happy, boy? And he goes, and he like dips his head a little bit. And then he shakes it and he goes, generally in my mouth.
So generally happy.
So okay. Happy. Mm-hmm. Oh my fuck. He's been in peak form of late. Okay. So I found this crazy fucking breakdown. You're going to love hate hearing it.
Mm-hmm. And I love a breakdown.
My only note at the top is, does this sound like assault to anyone else?
Oh no.
Casting call for Tara Possession, a love story. Art in Combat Productions. The movie Possessed, a love story, is about sexual extreme bondage, obsession, anger, revenge, and love. It is intended for an R rating and will be sent to film festivals, capitalized, for eventual pickup.
Capital F. Capital yeah. F.
Film festivals.
Mm-hmm. You know.
What kinds of film festivals? Tara, striking, strong character, mid to late 30s, fit, needs to be able to handle extreme bondage positions. Some necessary topless nudity is required. Ability to show anger, dominance, submission. She needs to be versatile and a great actor. The role is demanding physically and emotionally. Then he goes on to say, mm-hmm. All auditions consist of four portions. Mm-hmm. The first is a meeting with the director, writer, and a brief discussion about the movie. At that time, questions will be asked and answered. That's presumptuous.
Passive voice, which I absolutely hate.
A level of comfort must be established before you are scheduled for the second portion of the audition.
I'm uncomfortable with your use of passive voice.
Portion the second. is to see how the actors can handle extreme bondage positions for a prolonged period of time and to get the real facial expressions. The positions are elbows tightly tied together, full gags, filling gags, and chair ties and hog ties. The length of time is less than 1 hour, and we do supply pay. The normal pay for this is from $50 to $100, which is absolutely lowballing it. Once you are chosen for the third.
I'm sorry. Let's go back to the phrase, the normal pay for this. Does that mean you might not get it if you don't do a good job? Will I get extra if I'm really good at having a filling gag, which by the way, I understand what that means, but I've never heard anyone use that terminology, so I'm already have questions. Please continue.
I think I don't know what that means.
I believe it would just be like if the gag has some part of it that goes into your mouth that is big inside your mouth. Could be shaped like a dick, could just be a bigger ball or like whatever.
Sure. Okay. Once you are chosen for the third portion of the audition, there will be topless nudity, fondling, and breast play / groping. Again, we are interested in real life reactions.
No.
The bondage will be a bit more severe, but again, with the elbows tightly lashed together, filling gags, and some of the scenarios included in the movie. The pay is anywhere from $100 to $200. The last audition.
But do you know what jumps out at me about this? Is that it feels like they're trying to trap people. This feels like a sex work sting.
Exactly.
Except that sex workers know to ask for more money.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Well, I mean, obviously, this is long enough ago that I think it would be a sting now. And what it is in 2007 is an earnest ploy to like actually just
sex
work.
Yeah. Yep. I'm gonna come back to that.
Oh yeah, we're gonna return to that because mm-hmm. there's one more audition. What could it be, Lillian? The last audition.
Is it? Is. There will be questions asked and answered.
No, that's the first one. You're already disqualified. The last audition is.
Oh, God.
Your standard audition. You'll be given sides and we'll schedule a date. Having passed the first three auditions, this is the one that will determine if you are cast as Tara. A contract will await you upon successful completion.
Again, with the passive voice, a contract will await you.
Yeah, this dude is a m'lady. This dude is absolutely a m'lady. I wonder what the fuck happened to this guy. Note that the first and second auditions are on a one-on-one basis with me, the director of the movie. You are more than welcome to bring a friend. However, the friend must not be present in the room.
Oh,
and I will expect each of you, prior to moving forward, a resume of your acting or modeling experience, a headshot and a full body shot, and a phone number. The shoots may take place anywhere to be determined by the actor and producer.
Wait, I'm sorry. Okay, I completely zoned out for a second. Did he say he wanted a full photo of the person coming with you to the audition?
Yep. Mm-hmm. He definitely said, I will expect from each of you. Yep. Mm-hmm. You bring a friend, I gotta know how to hit her up.
Oh my God.
The kind of shit that I was seeing.
Oh my God. Was that an actual, that wasn't in backstage because you had to pay by the word. Was that in Playbill?
Good point about backstage. Craigslist. It might have been New York castings. NY castings always had some shitty shit.
Mm-hmm. They were the first ones who were online only. I remember that.
Right.
Yeah, I remember seeing a horror movie audition on that was all. It was just like, it said something like, you must be comfortable with having your breasts bitten at the audition, and I was like,
no. God damn it. What is wrong with people? What
kind of fucking verisimilitude are you going for here?
Jesus fucking Christ.
Wow.
Somehow after that, like days after that, I wrote, I'm getting so excited these days. And
that's because we were fully habituated to that shit. Because you were this is like, we don't have to go to those auditions, but obviously they're out there.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Oh man, my mom is just going to have her heart in her throat listening to this.
It's okay. It's okay. I went with her.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, fuck.
I love that they don't even start with you reading sides because your ability to get tied up is more important.
More important. We want to see real facial expressions of what you feel like when you're getting groped by a stranger. Do you? Because, see, that's the face, Lillian.
It is the face I just made.
Resignation and malaise. Yeah. It is where fucking like, ennui.
Where you're like, at least it's $50 to $100.
It is Madeline Kahn in Blazing Saddles.
Oh my God. So when I was like, we're going to come back to this, I just read a thing about a guy who, or maybe it was, this might've been on My Favorite Murder. Who knows? A guy who scammed multiple home care workers because he liked to use a diaper and have people change it. And it was cheaper for him to hire a home healthcare worker than it was for him to hire a sex worker. So that is what he did until he blew his cover every time. Every time. He couldn't just shut up and enjoy whatever his diaper situation
the
was.
Care. Oh, no. Oh, no. Come on, man.
I mean, it's all terrible. All of it's terrible.
It's but, like, all terrible. If you,
there is a world in which it's kind of better. Because your employee, it's none of it. Why am I even trying to negotiate this in my head? Because home health care work is legal and it's not legal to hire a sex worker.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Or also he's a terrible person who wants it to be non-consensual. But anyway.
Yes. Right. I'm sure he gets off on the trick of it, which is so awful.
Barf.
Okay. So somehow... I still got excited. I'm getting so excited these days. And I think it's because I'm breaking out of the past 6 months' survival shell, meaning that since I started working and got my place in September, my goal has been the immediate one to get on my feet. I lost sight of what has always been my big goal, to be a working actor. It's happened to all my graduate friends older than me as well. So I wasn't surprised when my dreams hit the back burner, but I was still a little jarred. Being in that train wreck production of Hansel and Gretel doesn't count either because it was utter tripe. But in the last several weeks, I've felt stirrings of my big goals starting to surface, and I've taken the bull by the horns with new headshots. They were awful. A new polished resume and submitting myself and auditioning for projects. I had a way fun audition on Sunday morning in the city. No sentence starts with that. No Sunday morning in the city is fun because you're working.
That's terrible. And not That's even terrible. Working. And interviewing. You're interviewing. Auditions are job interviews.
I was requested to do callbacks with a piece 99% improv with only like 3 lines that are the givens. Very fun. Then tonight sure. I had a set of staged readings, which were marvelous with some really fantastic plays. It was also in a used bookstore. I think, no, it wouldn't have been. It wouldn't have been Drama Books. I would have known better than to say that, I think. Anyway, tomorrow night is another audition, which I'm getting mighty stoked for. I'm not sure what may happen after all this revving up, whether it means quitting my job and working the stage full time. I don't know, especially not for the immediate future. For now, I'm keeping my 9-to-5 and doing as much as I can on the side, and we'll see how it goes from there. And then
this is marvelous. I just want to mention to our listeners that we picked these independently.
We did.
And they are very, you know, they're going to have a similar tone for sure.
I was otherwise going to read to you pretty much the moment I turned 16 when a giant shitload of estrogen was dumped into my system. Ooh. And these entries are just fucking bananas. Yay. They're great. Okay, let's see. Here we go. Late March 2007. Antsy is a good word. I open on Saturday night for my first show in the city, but it doesn't feel like it. Maybe that's because I've only rehearsed once and because I've been sidetracked by the sickness. I feel like my wheels are stuck in snow, but I'm still gunning the engine as far as it'll go. Mm. I should stay away from snow similes, otherwise it will call back that weather. Anyway, it's probably only because I've had to scrap a few auditions due to having no voice whatsoever. So this is when I was getting vocal nodes at Jim.
Oh, honey.
Mm-hmm. But I am ready, ready, ready. I just want to take that bull by the horns. I suppose that only after a month of auditioning again and already landing a show is a great place to be. Since I got the role, I've only attended a few other auditions and a couple have some promise. Maybe it's the immediacy of spring, but I just feel like galloping away with some company and traveling for 6 months.
Fuck them.
Then a few days later.
They'll figure it out.
They'll be fine.
That's literally a landlord's job.
Besides, my rent was only $470 a month.
Oh, in 2007. Nice job.
Because it was a share. You know, yeah. If I had the whole.
No, of course.
Duplex to myself, it would have been more. Mm-hmm. But tonight, while way bizarre, definitely alleviated a little antsiness. Tonight was supposed to be my opening night. Well, wait, let me preface this by saying that this is a rolling show. Casting is rolling. Most actors do 3 weeks of performances and then move on. So the show has been going strong every week for quite some time now, with hundreds of actors coming in and going out.
Can you tell me what this is?
This was a show called Happy Hour. Okay. And it would perform on the Lower East Side in a bar at like 11 p.m. And basically, yeah, it was a constant revolving door.
I was going to say, it sounds like The Line. Did you ever know about that? Yeah,
I did know about The Line. I never did it. And I'm not sure I went out for it. But Happy Hour was very similar. And everything was just like a monologue.
Okay.
And so if you got cast, you learned your track of monologues. Okay. And you performed them for however long.
Okay.
So for my not their opening performance to be canceled isn't really as crazy as it sounds. Nonetheless, I headed in on my own, totally ready to go. And when I got there, I was informed by the AD that my showing, there are two shows and two casts per night, had been canceled. This was definitely an oh brother moment. The good part is that it wasn't a total waste, as I've been rehearsing outside of the cast because I'm mainly an improv monologue and I really needed to see the structure of the show in its entirety. So seeing the show tonight was a big help. Besides, yeah, I know, right?
That does sound quite helpful. That sounds quite helpful.
Absolutely. Jesus Besides, Christ. I was able to sit down and have dinner, which I certainly wouldn't have been able to do here, as I am in desperate need of grocery shopping. So opening night, take two, here I come.
Did they buy you dinner? Do you remember?
No, I'm sure they didn't. I'm sure I did it myself.
So and then I was able to have dinner by buying it with my money. That I did not make tonight because you canceled my show.
Not at all. Oh, of course. And I wasn't making money from that show anyway, obviously. So a couple weeks later.
God.
At this point, I had a hamster.
Oh.
This is a great story. I can't remember if I've told you the story outside of the entry, but the entry is a fucking delight.
Cool.
April 2007. I got incredibly lucky last night. In the 6 months that I've had Mr. Fuzzywig, he hasn't.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
He hasn't yet escaped. I even moved him to a cage with more space and playing room. The problem is that this cage has two doors. I usually open one to take him out and use the other to put him back in. But of course, that's never foolproof, especially when distracted. Andrew woke me up in the middle of the night to tell me that he had heard something scuttling around, but I probably slept through that. When I got up this morning, however, I saw that the bottom door was wide open, knowing damn well it was me who forgot to close it. I have no doubt that Fuzzywig was out, but before I even started to look all over for him, I peered into the bed he made in his cage, and sure enough, he was nestled in there, fast asleep. I have no idea how I got so lucky as to give a hamster the ripe taste of freedom and have him return to his bungalow where he is well-fed and petted, but I did.
Aww, buddy.
It reminded me of my beloved late Sniffles, rest in peace, who always escaped and who was once found in bed with me and who was once found in bed with me twice in one night. I forgot that detail. I have no idea how he got into a dorm bed. That's completely beyond me. And then in May, well, a lot has been happening. I have been, of course, incredibly busy, but even more than usual. Sadly, last Wednesday, I had to quit my wonderful Gymboree job because I had developed quite unwonderful vocal notes from yelling, singing, and talking over people 6 to 7 days a week. It has at once both lifted a big weight and dropped another. Where am I to go? Thankfully, my diligent job hunting over the past week has gotten me loads of interviews, some with temp agencies, some with permanent positions. Though, to be honest, I'm seriously considering turning down a $40,000 job to waitress at my heart's home, where I can sing show tunes and have the flexibility of an actor. Do you know where I wanted to work, Lillian?
Where?
Ellen Stardust Diner!
Your heart's home. Oh my God. I'm so glad that you did it. That lady was such a cunt.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it was a different person in 2007, but whoever it was that I talked to in 2000 was terrible.
You know, I never ended up knowing anybody who did it. You know?
No, me either. I've known tons of people who worked at Jekyll and Hyde.
Right. Exactly.
Maybe nobody talks about it. Maybe it's like Fight Club. You work there. And it's like, zip.
By the end of May, I think.
Well, we got to find somebody for Dreading the Boards who has worked at Ellen's because
hell
that.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh, we can find that easily. I'm sure.
Yes.
That if we put out the call, we both certainly know handfuls of people.
Mm-hmm. Writing right under Diaper Guy, Ellen Stardust Diner. We're looking for a stinky. Oh my God! Please continue. Please continue.
So good. May 21st. Is there ever any time? No, girl. Fast forward, absolutely not. The past few days have been an amazing whirlwind. I've been great doing some daytime work again for a magnificently cushy investment firm. Oh my God. I remember this temp job. It was so good and easy.
Wow.
And they gave us Seamless every day. Mm? They had us order whatever on earth we wanted from Seamless. And it just appeared.
That's amazing.
It was amazing. Yeah. They just bought everybody lunch all the time. It was so good. God, man, I fucked up. I absolutely should have gone like temp to hire.
Yeah, that would have been amazing.
So I've just been doing some daytime temp work for a magnificently cushy investment firm, and I've just been cast in two projects. One is an original musical, which serves as a graduate thesis.
Sounds amazing.
The second is as the deliciously vengeful Queen Margaret in Richard III. Ooh. I am so psyched.
Nice.
Do I write more about that? No, I don't write more about that. But that's then what I spent my entire summer doing, was just all of this really good, delightful shit. June, crazy week. Any surprise? I didn't think so. Well, I've been completely littered with rehearsals and shoots and auditions and performances. Oh, my. And my workshop musical went up last Thursday. Yay. Wednesday and Friday were shoot days for a film I was working on. I would have written about each, which were incredibly entertaining. But I've been so obscenely exhausted this week that I have no clue how I'm even still alive. Basically, I got no more than 4 hours of sleep each night this week. Oh, God. Not because bedtimes have been so late, but more so because I've had to be on some type of set at an ungodly hour each morning. Wednesday, I needed to be in Brighton Beach by 8.
Nope. Oh, wow. That's meaning terrible. That's that terrible.
That's so bad. Wow. Wow. Meaning that I was in Manhattan by 6:30, meaning I was then up by 5.
Oh, girl.
Oh, not such a great rest for a day that was spent in the sun, walking barefoot on the highway in Brooklyn, burning to a crisp, sinking in a marsh, seriously, narrowly dodging decaying horseshoe crabs, and standing in the ocean in a dress growing steadily heavy with water until I could barely walk.
Oh, the horseshoe crab movie.
Uh-huh. 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 To read it, you'd think complaining, but I actually had a really fun day.
I have no boundaries yet.
That's right. That's right, girl. Don't you forget it. Only. The only downsides, sunburn, little sleep, and needing to then go to several hours of rehearsal immediately after. That's right.
I
have this distinct sense memory of being on like the B train and just full of dread and exhaustion. And I've been trying to remember why when I've told you the story about this film before. And it's because I had to go right to rehearsal and I showed up in this nasty, drenched, crab-smelling dress.
No, baby.
And I was that girl on the train.
Oh my so God.
I would love to say,
how'd that rehearsal go, Jen?
Oh girl. I would love to say that I caught up with said sleep on Wednesday night, but luckily I was cast in a commercial that was shooting on Thursday and the call time was 6 a.m. Now I like to arrive places early and I want to give myself at least a half an hour to get anywhere in Manhattan from 42nd Street.
Sure.
Of course, since no one goes to work that early, there weren't even buses that took you in by 5:30.
Nope.
And I live in a really busy and commuter friendly area. Yes. Needless to say, I made it to my call on time, but I was up at 4. Ugh. I spent the entire very long day on set, half of which was spent on a 1960s bus that was all but breaking down, and a total jerk-faced director. But I was there with a friend and met a really nice guy who I was chatting with for a while, so it was less painful. The whole job was quite chintzy, though, and I was glad to steal away with Gina by 4:30 to make it to our show's call. So I went right from all day on set doing a non-union commercial to a performance of, I don't know even what play this was.
Wow.
Friday was still quite early and sleepless. Another 5 o'clock rise time, but it was a but it was less taxing. It was the last day of shooting for the film, and luckily there was no sunburn, beach, soaking dress, or sandy shoes. Half was spent down in Bay Ridge, and the other was down in Soho, where there was a bit of downtime, and I catnapped all day. I thought I'd seen the last of the dead horseshoe crabs, but no.
Oh my God.
We needed them for an interior scene, so one of the PAs was grabbing them off the beach all day. Several were dead in a bag, and oh Lord, if they did not make you pass out.
Jennifer!
I forgot that part. I even decided to just stay in the room so I would become numb God. To the stench.
He just took the horseshoe crabs because they needed them for another scene.
A bag full of dead crabs.
But it sounds like some of them weren't dead.
Nah. Sitting in someone's fucking apartment for days. Oh my God.
Oh my God, call PETA.
I decided to just stay in the room with them so I'd become numb to the stench. But it was a completely ridiculous, fun, and memorable project. So I had a great time. Boundaries, regardless of how tired and completely delirious I was by the end of the day.
Oh, honey baby.
I had an audition scheduled after the shoot, which ran late, and after no sleep and a very long week and running in a frenzy to the audition, I definitely did not perform to my satisfaction. Tis okay though, since my schedule really couldn't work out with it anyway. And I think a couple days later, I almost broke my neck on the cyclone in Coney Island.
Fun.
Yeah. Living on the edge. So I think that might have be all I pulled.
Oh, no, that's no. Okay. That's a good. No.
Here's no? One more. Here's
okay,
one more.
Okay.
So this is.
This is the return of the horseshoe crabs.
Go, thank God, no.
I didn't even this know is. There were horseshoe crabs up here.
Sure, there are. They are. Man, oh, man.
That's solidly like an Eastern Shore Hampton Roads thing in my head, but okay.
I'll tell you, when Jory and I, do you remember over the summer when Jory and I went to Brooklyn to, oh, what's the big beach? We went to Reese. We went to Reese.
Yeah, I was
and,
very jealous.
Well, I mean, don't entirely be. We ended up having a really good time, but I had like a feeling when we were only 3 minutes away from home, and I was like, maybe I should bail on today. Mm. And then I was like, no, I told Sarah I'd go. Like, I've RSVP'd. We made it in the car. We're here, whatever. Well, on the Belt Parkway in Brooklyn, a bus had run into a lamppost.
Oh, no.
And so, like, the whole belt was shut down, and you felt it as early as, like, the Gothels Bridge.
Oh, and so, my God.
As we're navigating and getting further out of Jersey, I'm, like, looking at my map, and I'm like, huh, why is this saying it's going to take so long? That makes no sense. And it's just getting longer and longer and longer and longer.
No, no.
Bitch, we were in the car for, like, 3 hours trying to go to a beach that I could have made it an hour and 20 in like normal time. Oh my God. So we did only get there by the seat of one's pants, but
wow.
But as we were en route and as we were on the belt going through all those little beachy areas, I saw the stretch of highway where I walked barefoot, and I was like, oh my God, this is horrible. This is not safe at all. And I saw the marsh where I absolutely sunk down into some like fucking dreck. And I saw this area and I'm pointing at it and I'm like, Jory, I did the craziest student film here. And I'm like having memories resurface at this exact moment in time. It was bonkers.
Mm-hmm. So every time you tell this story, it makes me think of that part in Being John Malkovich, where people like get sucked through the thing and they wake up in the Jersey Turnpike. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah. But I've only seen Being John Malkovich once.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all you need to know. That's all. But it's the same where you're like, how did I even get here? Like, how, what? Who was I just being?
Who?
Did you find another thing?
Oh, yeah. No, I think I'm going to stop with the fact that it was just like, that was my first summer, like, become, oh, I know the thought that occurred to me as I'm reading these entries, you know. I mean, I'll rag on myself because I never like partied, right? I didn't party in college and I did not party in my 20s. And I was like, I never like lived close to the edge, blah, blah, blah. Girl, I did. I was getting 4 hours of sleep a night. It's just because I was on set all the time and like doing shitty theater. And now I'm like, oh, okay. I don't feel so bad about being such a boring, like well-behaved grown-up.
Because, oh, no, you had plenty of adrenaline. You were doing fine.
Right, right. Exactly, exactly.
Bingo. Oh, my God.
Bingo.
Okay, so it's a tiny little palate cleanser before I go into, and mine is not much about actual auditions, but it is a lot, quite a bit about the terrible sales job that I had for a while.
Yes!
But I want to read this short story. So this is definitely the end of college, beginning of college. Oh, this might be beginning of college, because it is in. Yeah, I don't think I took creative writing much later than like sophomore year. Okay. So this was an exercise that a page beforehand says trash exercise. So, and I learned later that it was because we were supposed to talk, write about finding something in the trash. Like that was the pivotal thing.
Got it.
Okay. Mary smiled to herself as she straightened up the living room. She swept around the trough and fluffed up the stacks of hay. Loopy would be home soon, and she wanted everything to be just perfect. After all, moving in together had been a big step in their relationship. She was very excited, even though she had heard a few disparaging remarks as she strolled by the coop that morning. Maybe Loopy wouldn't mind moving to a more progressive corner of the barnyard, she thought to herself. The pigs are always shacking up with each other, and no one ever bothers them. Mary fluffed her fleece in the mirror. They're just jealous, Mary, don't you worry, and she winked at her reflection. She made her way over to the barn door to empty the trash, humming softly to herself. Yes, sir, three bags full. As she bent over to pick up the wastebasket, she noticed something unusual. Loopy always told her when Mowgli wrote to him. He always read her the letters, so she had never actually seen any of them. But now, at the top of the pile of garbage, was an envelope to Loopy with his stepbrother's return address. Mowgli, 32 East Jungle, Africa. She opened the envelope and glanced at the letter inside.
No.
Oh, sounds like she has a real sacrificial offering complex, Loop. Is this really worth it? I mean, her following you everywhere, too? You know you'll be much happier if you drop the charade. We missed you last full moon. Love, Mowgli.
Yes.
What? Sacrificial offering complex? What does he know? And what charade? Mary's thoughts whirled. She looked further into the trash can. A few needles they found in the sofa. I don't know what that's about. do my protagonists sew a lot or do they just have a heroin problem?
They're knitting, aren't they?
Oh, knitting needles.
Knitting needles. Cute.
Last week's shearing schedule. Oh, what on earth are those scraps of red cloth? They reminded her of the little hooded jacket the little farmer's daughter always wore. What a sweet girl. Mary dug further in the trash. Nothing but a half-empty jar of mint jelly and an empty floss box. Maybe I'm just paranoid, she thought, and began to pick up the bucket when Loopy walked through the door. I'm home, little lamb. Hey, don't leave the door open. We weren't raised in a barn. I was raised in a barn, Loopy. How was your day? Oh, fantastic, but I couldn't wait to get home. Have I ever told you you've got the greatest legs I've ever seen? I love you. I love you too, Loopy. I've never seen you smile that way. Mary was suddenly nervous as Loopy began to approach her with a glint in his big eyes. Maybe you heard me wrong, Mary. I love you. Loopy pricked up his big ears and continued to advance, a small rivulet of saliva chasing down his chin, drops of it sparkling on his fangs. Mary found herself wishing she had heeded her mother's advice about finding a nice kosher boy.
Oh, fucking amuse Boosh.
Oh my God, so much Boosh.
Oh, Lillian, real quick before we dive in, yeah. I'm trying to figure out like why my journal just precipitously ends. Mm-hmm. Do you know why it precipitously ends?
Why?
The final fucking entry says, blah, 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 blah. However, last week was mostly spent in meetings with an agency who is looking to add me on. So this week is mainly recharging my battery. I'll most likely need to go in for more meetings either tomorrow or over the weekend. But we'll see. You know what that is. That's oh. That scam that stole
oh,
my idea.
Oh, motherfucker.
I stopped writing because of they were all up did. My grill.
Oh, God.
In fact, I even wonder if I did write some and then had and then like deleted them afterwards. But that's I'm not really entirely sure about that. But
wow.
Yeah, I was like, huh, it's, you know, I'm very earnest. Why would I not keep? Oh, I see. Exactly mm-hmm. why I wouldn't keep writing. Got it.
God.
That's fair.
Oof. Okay. All right. So mine's. This is a little light and fluffy. Wait, is this where this begins? No. Okay. First of all, when I was talking to you before, and I was like, oh my God, really? So my friend Emma Story, who Facebook thinks is me all the time and tags us as each other,
mm-hmm.
Had posted a very funny Twitter thing the other day about the term prima donna and how some people think that it is pre-Madonna, like,
oh no.
Someone before Madonna.
Yeah, absolutely not. No, no.
And I wonder, and so apparently I knew that people made that mistake before.
Really?
Either that or I made that up as a joke. But but either way, I just don't understand what people would think prima donna means if they thought that that's what it is.
Right.
Weird.
Real weird.
Weird, weird, weird. Okay, so... This is a purple sparkly notebook that I must yes. have been thrilled as fuck to find.
Absolutely, you were.
And I may have read you some of the beginning of this. Please, God, can I have a job? October 12th, 2000. Please, God, can I have a job? Please, please, please. I'm such an asshole. I just bought $30 jazz shoes and spent $20 on music for a music book for one song. I am so poor. And
oh,
I remember
I hated that.
Doing things like that. Yeah. For yeah. those of you who don't know what we're talking about, like I dragged my ass to Colony Music in Midtown. Not only did I have to buy a whole book, like selected yep. songs from who knows
for
what.
Broadway altos.
But right. But then I had to drag my ass to a photocopier at some point so that I could make the correct copies of the thing I just bought mm-hmm. for an audition. I'm not stupid. I'm just poor. I need that check from the movie. Do you know what movie that was?
Oh, it was J-Lo.
Mariah Carey's Glitter.
It was right.
Yes. Close. Maybe I should go back to St. Augustine and bartend there quick before my money runs out. St. Yes. Augustine, man, it won't let you go. I'm going nuts and getting poor by the minute. Where is my knight in shining armor? Where is my livelihood? Maybe I'll remember tomorrow. And then underneath that in pencil, today sucked and tomorrow's Friday the 13th. And then on the next page, still in pencil, it says, A, go to audition. B, cry because you can't dance.
Oh, relatable.
C, call Lawrence. D, call Harriet. I don't know who those people are. E, blow up a federal building. I never did that. October 14th. Oh, this is actually very cute because this was when I went to the Ralph Nader rally. That I think I told you Don was actually at, but it was before we knew each other.
Oh my God, I don't remember that story. I'm not sure you told me.
Okay,
you went to a Nader rally.
So let me, I'll read you
oh
the
Oh my God, was Clinton still president?
Oh yes, I am very old. Boop, boop. Could it be? Could I, the queen of laissez-faire philosophy, actually be inspired by a politician? Dad took me to a Ralph Nader rally last night. He's on the Green Party, quote unquote, ticket and actually stands for things I think I could stand for. No death penalty, making minimum wage $10. How long ago was this? Supporting gays and women's rights, equal pay for equal work. Strengthening unions, really cleaning the environment, all kinds of fantastic stuff. Plus, Ani DeFranco, Susan Sarandon, and Tim Robbins, who's 4 feet away from me, were at the rally. And Eddie Vedder, how could you lose?
Oh, fuck.
So it wasn't until later when I was like, I think I was going through stuff, maybe before Don and I moved in together, where I was like, oh my gosh, look at this funny bumper sticker. And he was like, oh, I have one like that. I got it from the Nader rally at Madison Square Garden. And I was like, oh,
yes.
I was at the Nader rally at Madison Square Garden.
I love that Alan took you.
Oh yeah. My dad was so excited that I saw Ani DeFranco. It was like a black and white photocopied poster that was up somewhere near where we were on the Upper East Side. And I was like, Ani DeFranco's doing a free concert? Wait, what's happening? And he was like, oh, Ralphie, good old Ralphie. What's he up to? And he was like, you want to go see this? And I was like, you want to come to this with me? He was like, yeah, it's a political rally. It's not a concert. And I was like, what? And we got there early, early, early. And we stood in line for a long, he was like, this is going to be big. I want you to experience the whole thing. And he was legit just excited that I was excited. Phil Donahue was there doing a weird other character. It was the first time that I heard, okay, now I can't, now I'm not. Bowling for Columbine guy. Can't think of his name.
Michael Moore.
Yes, Michael Moore was there. Very white, now that I'm saying all these things out loud.
Sure, of course.
Anyway. So there's literally not another mention of politics in anywhere.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that.
Your dad took you to a Nader rally.
He sure did.
Oh, fuck. That's great.
So AdForce was the company that I worked for, where I had to go places and sell tickets to comedy clubs. October 23rd. Great. So I'm late for my first trip out on a new job. Thank goodness one of the guys is just like April's brother. We get along, my friend April from college. I don't know who I'm talking about here. Used to get sent out. This was the group that would put us in a holding room. And the music was so loud at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning that we couldn't talk to each other. And it was done that way on purpose because they were trying to get us psyched. They're trying to get us pumped. And then they would put us in a room, and just like in motherfucking Requiem for a Dream, they would be like, juice by Jen, juice by Jen, go juice. Give us your juicy pitch, Jen. And you'd have to be like, hey, I'm Jen. I'm here from blah, 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 Haircuts International. And I'm just trying to booty boo, 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 boo. And don't you want to buy my weird piece of cardboard for $10 that gets you a haircut? Except for what I was doing is this was a training day. I did not even get paid for this day, which is fucking illegal. I think I go on a side quest here. Mom called the other night crying. She was at the shortstop after work, which was just like a 7-Eleven. And this kid walked in with a ski mask and a semi-automatic rifle. This was in rural Virginia. My mom got held up by a semi-automatic rifle in her Colonial Williamsburg outfit. He got all the money from the register, but didn't ask for her purse. Thank God. She actually had more in her purse than what was in the register, but she's still alive. I love her. And then I just breeze on by this.
Yeah, right.
Things have been out here. Okay. Because Jen, I had to talk about how I ushered for cabaret on Friday and I met Leah Thompson.
Yes.
And her first grade teacher.
Yes. I remember that. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. I'm now giving out movie tickets to the new Disney flick Emperor's New Groove, Talking Llama, and everything.
Wow.
So with that, I was recruiting people for focus groups for movies.
Right.
Yeah. And they told us for Disney things to hang out near playgrounds, which is something you're not allowed to do anymore. Thank God. Reap. So for this job, for this training that I didn't get paid for, we ran all the way from Fifth Avenue and 39th Street to Penn Station. I think that's at 34th and 7th. Close. My legs are still trying to recover. I'm short and fat, people. You know what? I'm glad I didn't grow up having money. Kids with money just drink, shop at Abercrombie and Fitch, and turn their nose up at the rest of the world.
That's right.
Dumb poor fucks like me. Oh my God. Also yesterday I went to that Marble Collegiate Church. So this was when I was still like hoping to find a church home and everything was just too big and weird. It's a nice church, except that this old lady sitting next to me kept falling asleep on me. I'm going to be angry.
The limelight, it is not.
I'm telling you. That's the church. I'm going to be angry if I don't get this job and I had to pay $11 to spend a day in New Jersey. I will be so angry. Angry, I tell you. Yeah, because it's illegal. Well, some things have seemed to have gone well. The group is AdForce America. My trainer was a person named Ben Betts. What are you up to, Ben? I think this job will be cool, but unfortunately, I'm getting calls from the lady I saw last week for a Vogue shoot. What? I don't remember that. But it would be tomorrow afternoon, and I'm going to be doing this all day tomorrow, too, I think. A Vogue shoot?
It was probably, look, I can't remember most of the shit that I ended up doing that way, but I bet you dollars to donuts, it was like, we need all kinds of bodies for this, like, this story photography.
Yeah, which would have definitely paid more than whatever I was doing the next day.
For sure.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I can't be picky right now. Right. So remember when I was doing Follow Spot for Lip Synca and then I like gave it up in a very poor fashion? Yeah, it says, the fact is I'm committed through January 1st for Lip Synca in the evening, so I couldn't go on any of their little trips. And now I'm like, did this weird AdForce thing want me to go on like retreats or something? Very weird.
Man, we should do an episode that's on good jobs that were in front of us that we absolutely should have taken.
Oh my God. apparently, I interviewed at COSI when it was called X and O COSI, which I thought was Zando COSI for a long time. Yes. They had this weird shtick where you could like get a little Sterno can and toast marshmallows over it.
That was cute.
Also, the phone number for Covenant House, who I did actually wind up interviewing with later, and it was not great. Just follow the signs to the Staten Island Shakespearean Theater.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I went out and I auditioned on Staten Island. My dad came with me for that. That's terrible. Why did I think I could do that? What do we think this is? Refund policy, $40, 6 weeks liquid diet. 8 mornings, $300. Oh, no. $300 for the first week, four for the last, one goes on a liquid diet. That's not something I did, no. But it's something I considered doing for sure. Oh, you know what it was? It was a medical research thing. I remember now. Boop, doop, boop, boop, boop. Something then it's just like a whole bunch of phone numbers for people back in St. Augustine, so clearly I was homesick. Okay, next thing. Yeah,
what date are you about to read me? Is it still 2000?
It's 2000 and wait, no, yes, October 30th of 2000. Yes.
Nice.
And weirdly, my thing says low battery now, even though I charged earlier. Hang on a second. I should be able to get through this, though. Then I have a whole thing that someone else wrote in my notebook, which means I handed over my actual diary and let someone write in it. But it's like 8 steps to success. These are the ingredients. Be on time. Be prepared. Know your territory. Have a good attitude. Have a great attitude. Work a full 8 hours. Make a call immediately after a sale. Remember why you're here. Management opportunity. Go the extra mile. And I remember.
Oh, no.
God.
You were about to sell some Cutco knives.
Oh, for real. Yeah. Terrible. And then unfortunately on the left-hand side, you can't see because it's blurry. I was taking notes off of their notes. I was like, let me remind myself to go the extra mile.
Oh God.
You'll like this. This is a conversation between me and my friend April. See, this stuff is always wrong. It says Capricorns don't accept people into their lives with open arms. She says, that's such shit. You're like the Statue of Liberty.
Oh my God, April. Can you do it in her voice?
That's such shit. You're like the Statue of Liberty. Only she probably said Statue of fucking Liberty. April came into town yesterday on what she considers usually the worst day of the year, the changeover from daylight savings time to the dark months.
Perk.
She was perpetually having a vitamin D deficiency.
What I did on November 11th, 2000 was I went to see Blair Witch 2. It sucked ass. So I went and raised hell at Walmart.
Oh my god, that's amazing. Oh my god. Close. It's October 31st. This is moments before that.
Very close.
I went to this thing of Dad's Thursday night, some conservative club thing. It was probably that National Conservative Caucus thing. It was kind of lame, and it seemed to me to be a bunch of close-minded men sitting around being biased and patting each other's ridiculousness on the back. Now I've loaned Dad's friend Chris $25 and Dad $15. Why am I loaning my father money? This week was the World Series, the first Subway Series in 40 years. Why am I paying attention to baseball? I'm going to see Rent tomorrow night. I won tickets off of WPLJ, and I did. I went to go see Rent on Halloween, and it was wonderful.
That's marvelous.
Yes. Talking to my preacher friend again. Talking to drunken friend Kevin again.
The one you exchanged lighters with.
Yes. Yeah, the one who gave me the lighter that he got while he was in jail. So it was very special to me. The one who told me that I looked like Lisa Loeb and then made out with me.
Yes. That's a core memory.
Uh-huh. Morons. Oh, he did make extra sure to say he loved me before we hung up. I think I documented that conversation from September where he said he wanted to know if he should say it before he got off the phone with me. And like, once again, we weren't dating. We made out a couple of times.
Yeah.
And then he was super weird.
Well.
Mm-hmm. and then so I'm going to read you a closer, but I want to read you my pitch that I had to say every time I walked into a classroom. Yes. That I did not go to school at.
Yes. While you were at Fairleigh Dickinson
and other places. I called in sick the past 2 days. While I was sick, I made a hat. I was having a crochet time. They sent me out all by myself. So I was sitting at, there's some college off of J Street at Borough Hall by the big Lane Bryant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. and I sat in a stairwell and mostly just wrote because I didn't want to be there. Hey, real quick, I'm with special events. Every semester we get the discount tickets you guys love to shows and the ball games and stuff. This time we lucked out and got tickets to Comic Strip Live. Now, most of you guys know about CSC, but those of you who don't, it's one of the best showcases in the country on the Upper East Side. They have people like Jerry Seinfeld, Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock. Normal people pay $30 to get in, but students get in at 90% off. It's $5 a ticket. Two people get in on a ticket and they're good any day of the week, 7 days a week until next year. And there's a minimum purchase, but it's, you can just get sodas. So who wants to pick them up? Raise your hand and I'll come around real quick. No, I did not deliver this.
I would buy those from you in a heartbeat.
You would have bought them from the people who were going around with me selling them. Yeah, you wouldn't have bought them from me because I would have been like, you guys know about CSC on the Upper East Side of Manhattan?
Yeah, right. I don't carry the tickets, kid. I just does the patter. My God.
Where people from Brooklyn don't go. Here was an exchange between me and someone. You've got to take it with a grain of salt. To which I said, I have run out of salt.
Great.
And then here's me.
Gumption.
Yes. Wait, what day did you say you went to go see?
11/11.
Oh, okay. This is 11/4.
Yay.
Something about Shetler Studios, something about second floor ballroom. There's no ballroom in Shetler Studios. But then Counterfeit Straight, Wow Cafe Theater, 59 East 4th Street, 4th floor. And that was when I auditioned for my friend Randy and met a whole ton of people, including the man I married now. Yay. The other thing that I really wanted to read to you is at the very end of this. I am a devout enabler. I want people to be happy, and I'm willing to make sacrifices to make them feel better. I challenge people, but only insofar as their comfort zone allows. I give them what they want. People, especially men, find in me whatever it happens to be that they're looking for at the moment, if only for a brief time. I fill up people's voids. They can see in my eyes that I've been through a lot and can relate to their hardships. I encourage sensitivity to the point where people can admit their weaknesses, and then I give them the shoulder they've never had to cry on. I'm the kind of woman that, with prolonged exposure to me, men realize and accept that they're gay, usually after I've fallen for them. Men don't fall in love with me. They fall in need with me, a far more binding and far more dangerous concept. I am the embodiment of wholehearted acceptance, a healer of hearts, immediate gratification. I've had men tell me that I am more important to them than God. This surpasses flattery and forges immediately on ahead to frightening. I'm perpetually caught in that strange trap of finding that just friends place too quickly to establish romance, so I have lots of friends and no lovers to speak of. This also stems from my father issues, and when you add a dash of insecurity and a pinch of male resentment, then a handful of abandonment anxiety, you, bam, kick it up a notch into full-fledged neurosis. But I say if you're going to go, go all the way. My emotional baggage is a matching Versace set. Does Versace make luggage? I don't know. I grew up poor. And then boyfriends and just friends and drag queens. Oh my. Here we have the ultimate codependency catalyst, the pseudo-feminist, the fagnet. I get men so caught up in their mother issues that they either don't notice my fabulous breasts at all, or if they do, they immediately regress and associate me more with weaning than with wooing.
Oh my God.
It's sad, I tell you. And I start the circle. I do it to myself. Plus, I'm not attracted to macho men. Oops, absent father, no male role model. What to do? What to do? Suck it up and drive on, I say. Build a bridge and get over it. You are only a product of your environment as long as you allow yourself to be. Own up. Take control of your life and all that. Napping is a waste of time that could be spent being happy. No, moping. Moping. I've always been very pro-napping. Oh my God. And then good to know numbers like something called the Actors Issues Group. I wonder if that phone number still works.
I want to get into that voicemail.
Quote unquote, for performers, vocational crisis.
Vocational crisis.
And then for some reason, I also have the Better Business Bureau.
Capricorning the entire fucking way.
Oh, that's just at the very back of the journal. I have a tendency to like just go to the back and jot stuff down.
Oh my God. Shit.
I have another. I like started a short story at the back of this one. But the thing where I was like, oh my gosh, I found all of these drawings. I had started to write a book about, I'm sure I told you about it, about a little girl who goes to play on the slide, and then she only has guys friends, and they're like, you can't play and the slide. It's our clubhouse. You have to be a boy. And then so she's like, I hate being a girl. This fucking sucks. And then she gets coached along the way by like a number of very cool and very different looking women. And then is eventually like, oh, I actually like being a woman. It's pretty cool.
Yay! I just had to find the cool women.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that that really speaks to where, but I have like a fabulous fat girl and then like a bunch of like gender non-specific, I guess, intending for them to be women. I have like kind of an Indian looking lady who's a lawyer. I have a lady who's been through chemo and only has one boob and no hair.
Oh my God.
These are very cute drawings. I should really revisit them.
Yay.
Okay. Anyway. Whew. That job was so bad.
Fucking.
That was a lot. We don't, we, that we was can stop great. Here.
I like that so much. What do you mean turn captions on? No.
I just wish, like, before I went and read that, I actually went and poured myself some very expensive bourbon into a little crystal glass that I am particularly fond of, because I think that she would be very proud of where I am.
Yes.
Oh, that little gooey mess. Little gooey mess.
I drank a little bit of grapefruit vodka from a pudding jar.
And you know what? Still proud.
Same energy.
Oh, cheers, queers.
Cheers,
I love you.
Queers. I love you so much. Fuck buddies. Mm. Mm. We're rocking and rolling.
I mean, we always say, call in and tell us things. But really, like, we would like that.
But really, literally no one has. And we're on, like, 150 episodes.
I know. Someone and we have a we know first. It. We have a ton of listeners. Like, we know that people are out there listening. We're not those people being like, we're yelling into the void. We're not. We're yelling into your ears. We yeah. know that.
And we know that.
But, you know, as long as everything's cool with you, it's cool with us.
For sure. You want to just let us run on a... on a long lead, I mean, we got it.
So, if that's the format you like, we're nailing it.
We are fucking killing it.
All right. I don't have anything pithy to wrap things up with. But
What did I want to say? I don't know.
I don't know. The world is full of promise.
Oh, and... I know what I wanted to say. I wanted to say... Sorry, what did I cut off your epiphany?
No. I just burped. I said the world is full of promise, and then I burped.
My favorite. Y'all, Murderville on Netflix is a delight, and it's such a teeny,
is good.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's so good.
Let me tell you, the joy my soul is delivered by fucking Marshawn Lynch, the football player. Oh,
I know aspiring actors who need to watch him do improv.
1,000%.
Where it's like, it's because he's not trying. He's literally just along for the ride. He's being in the moment. He's listening. He's listening. And he's reacting.
Yes.
It is fantastic. He's better. So he's better than Conan by a bunch.
1,000%. Right. Yep. Yep, he and Kumail Nanjiani are...
Oh, Kumail. I haven't seen the last 3 episodes, but we've gotten up to Kumail.
Of the 6, those 2 are my absolute favorite. Marshawn and Kumail. 1,000%. Nobody else blows by a long shot. But in terms of just who plays the most...
Oh, my God. Those 2. Such a pleasure.
Oh my God, it's so delightful. And y'all, it's really, it's a very teeny tiny little time investment. It stars Will Arnett. And it's almost like joining in a murder mystery.
Yes.
And it's a imagine game. Will Arnett is the lead detective and you have to help him solve
yes.
a fucking murder.
That is exactly what it is.
Delightful.
It's beautiful. So. I watched all of Inventing Amy. And while I enjoyed it, I can't say that it was good necessarily.
Oh, Inventing Anna?
Anna, sorry. Yes.
Oh my God. Did that drive you fucking crazy or what?
Wait, which part?
All of it, but especially that goddamn voice.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Her accent's crazy, but that's really what she sounded like.
So then
I thought that I would leapfrog directly off of that weird voice and right into Dropout, which is about the Theranos lady.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So I'm on episode 2 of that.
My friend Nikki is in that.
Oh, really?
Yes. Nikki is the trans femme with purple hair.
Have not gotten to this yet.
Oh, really? Nikki is fucking amazing and plays, I don't know her real name in IRL, but Nikki plays basically somebody who I think secures funding.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to see it.
And Nikki recurs, and there are already, like, think pieces on her.
Oh, my God. And fun.
I know. I'm so excited for her.
And in the in-betweens, I have started watching, I think it's called Terrible Roommate or The Worst Roommate.
Oh, yes.
Which is, it's just a series of true crime things that are specifically about, like, people living with somebody. And it is wonderful and terrible. And the very first episode is about this woman named Dorothea who, when they finally dig up her backyard, there are 7 motherfucking bodies in it. And she's this, like, sweet little old lady who runs a boarding house, except she's a murderer.
Oh, fuck. You know, I hope that one day Karen and Georgia just finally fucking do H.H. Holmes.
Who died?
I want to hear them. The murder right castle in. Of Chicago. In the 1800s, it took place at the World's Fair. Simultaneously with the World's Fair going on, this guy was a total fucking psychopath, and he rented a building in Chicago, and he transformed it into a murder palace with a whole bunch of, like, secret chambers and trap doors and shit. And he ran a pharmacy downstairs.
Oh,
and
my God.
He would get people to come in from the pharmacy, and he would ferret them away. Oh, my God. It's so good. I mean, it's horrible. It's horrific. There's a book about it. There's a book about it called Devil in the White City.
Oh, my God. That sounds amazing.
It's so fucking good. It's so fucking good. Anyway.
And wasn't it called the White City because of the World's Fair and all the electricity?
Oh, probably, yeah. Yes. I'm going to go ahead and just say it without remembering. But yeah, it's such a good book. And the way it's done, I can't recommend it enough. The way it's done is as though it is a non-fictional historic text.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a little bit fictionalized. I mean, it is not necessarily fiction, but it's narrativized. It's a great approach.
Yeah.
And it's a really good story. And I remember
tweet at them.
Right? Because very early on, Karen and Georgia were like, look, we don't want to talk about motherfuckers everybody knows about. We aren't doing a Ted Bundy episode. We're not doing H.H. Holmes. And I was like, no, I want to hear your take on H.H. Holmes.
Well, and then they have done those people. So not Ted, but you know, they've done the usual suspects, literally.
Yeah.
Well, have fun editing this hour and a half long romp.
You're going to get it all. What up, fuck nutties? It's been a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. We love you guys.
We love you.
I love you too, Lillian.
I love you, Jen.
You're my favorite.
You're my favorite. Welcome back. And
welcome back.
Bye-bye.
Oops. Your dreams are your ticket out. Welcome back.
Is that what that song goes?
Yeah. To the same old place we laughed about.
Wait, Welcome Back, Cotter?
Yeah.
I have never listened to any of the rest of it.
It's a good fucking song. Oh, it's so good.
And you sang it very creepily.
Did I? I have learned that just from like 2 tablespoons of vodka, I am perfectly addled enough.
I love it. I love you when you're addled.